Christmas Sunday morning crowd look like at Markham Missionary Church until you all showed up this morning, and that's great. Talking to families, the kids have been up so long that it actually was a good thing to have an event to go to for some of them. And for some of you, it's a day that is an anniversary of events in your life. And as you celebrate Christmas, so much of that history in your lives is remembered and given to the Lord again today. We measure things from Christmases. Well, on that Christmas, such and such happened before it, or it's our first Christmas since, or first Christmas after. And so we pray that you will just have a blessing, a Christmas blessing from God today in this time of worship, in this time of celebration. We're going to be talking about Simeon this morning, but I just wanted to comment on the background picture that we have been using this morning. It's a picture of a stained glass window somewhere, but graphics that we could find, it best represented that scene with Mary and Joseph coming and this man Simeon holding the baby Jesus. Now down in the bottom right-hand corner, if we had gone on in the scripture reading, it would have talked about a prophetess by the name of Anna. And that picture includes who I imagine is Anna, and she spoke briefly after Simeon had finished. So it's a beautiful picture. You can imagine it as a stained glass window. It'd be absolutely beautiful. And it just represents to us the scene that we look at this morning. Well, one Christmas, a family had an unexpected house guest. Lots of you have house guests, and I don't know if anybody's had an unexpected one, but this particular one fell down their chimney. No, it wasn't Santa Claus. It was a squirrel. And it fell all the way into the basement into a currently non-used wood-burning stove. Hearing the noise of that, the family rushed to find out what it was, and when they kind of figured out what it was, they came to the rescue. And the dad, assuming that the squirrel would welcome some help, lifted the round lid off the top and put his hand down in, planning to gently lift it out and set it free. Well, you can guess how the squirrel reacted to that. It panicked, frantically scratched at the metal sides of the firebox, bounced from side to side, hurting itself more in trying to avoid this rescue than it had in the original problem falling in. The dad said it was like the squirrel was overdosed on espresso when he reached the hand in. Well, finally the family had a consultation, figured out that they should get a cardboard box, cut a hole out for the front door of the wood-burning stove, set the cardboard box there and left it quiet for a bit. And eventually the squirrel explored it and got into it, and then they were ready to slide in the side that would close it off, took it out to the backyard and released it out into its freedom. The dad wrote, as in reflecting on this little incident, the dad said, "Our little visitor had frantically tried to bash its way out of its dark prison, but it seemed the harder it struggled on its own strength to get free, the more pain it caused itself. In the end, Squirrel simply had to wait patiently until one who was much bigger, one who could understand and provide true solutions, could carry him safely to the setting where he was made to flourish." What a great illustration of our lives as we often live them. In our striving for the ideal Christmas, we always want it to go well. We always want this to be the time where everybody cooperates. People show up at the time they're supposed to. They say nice things, and nobody quarrels. We all go home with wonderful, perfect memories. In our yearning to structure memories and meaning through whatever it takes, we can end up like that little squirrel flailing from one end of its tiny prison to the other and completely miss the hand of God in the middle of our lives, His hand reaching into our lives with His peace, with His solutions, and with His means to get us to a place where we can flourish from the inside out. What is good about Christmas and then with New Year's right behind it is that often, you know, at the heart of our celebration and fun and busyness, there is some reflection that happens. Exhaustion, if nothing else, will do that to us. There really is that yearning that this year will capture the real meaning of Christmas, that there will be a fresh touch from God on our lives this year, and that we'll recognize that big hand of God reaching down into our little box, not as a threat, but as the means of release into His fulfillment in our lives. Well, friends, you've taken a significant step by being here this morning, in contrast to many, many people in your neighborhood and around us. You've put yourself in the right situation to experience God's hand on your life and God's blessing in this Christmas. In the house of the Lord, in a worship service, is a great place to pause and to reflect and to think about God's interaction in our lives. However, in looking back at the incarnation event, the reality is that many people who should have known better missed the meaning of that first Christmas, the actual birth, actual life of Jesus. Think about the various players in the Christmas story. Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds, they didn't miss it. But they had the help of angel interpreters and angel guides. The wise men got it. They had the help of a special star. As they read the heavenly signs and eventually through the court of King Herod consulted the Old Testament prophecies, they got it and they found Jesus and they worshipped Him. But people like King Herod, like the chief priests, and later the teachers of the Old Testament, the Pharisees, the scribes, the religious lawyers of the day, who were in the right place, who had knowledge of the prophecies that were being fulfilled and they should have seen as identifiers of Jesus as the true Messiah, they seemed to be so caught up in defending their place on the cliff so tenaciously that they viewed the birth of Jesus as a threat into their lives. They missed the hand of God, even though they had knowledge, as some of us may have, and we might still miss it. They had knowledge that God was reaching down, had promised that He would reach down, and they missed a fresh touch from God in their lives because of their tiny self-protecting attitudes. So I pray that you won't be among those, even in the right place, who still missed out on that fresh touch. Well, our text for today tells the story of one person who didn't miss the meaning of the birth of Jesus Christ. A man by the name of Simeon. He met up with Jesus at the temple some 40 days after the birth of Jesus, when there were purification ceremonies, there were consecration of the firstborn ceremonies, that if they were within reach of the temple, a devout Jewish family was obligated to carry out and to do there. And so these young, devout Jewish parents went to the temple, fulfilling these requirements, carrying out the ritual of their faith in their context. So this morning, we want to draw some principles from Simeon's experience, both to stir us, to guide us in seeking our own fresh touch from God today. Now, the outline of the sermon certainly risks being oversimplified, but I pray that maybe even in that oversimplification, it will make it memorable for you. You'll see it on the sermon note insert there. In seeking a fresh touch from God in your life, three things. First of all, you need to want it. Number two, pray for it. And number three, wait for it. As we get this one and only glimpse of Simeon in his brief appearance on the Bible stage, we see that he certainly wanted it. What do we know about Simeon in this brief story? Well, our usual impression, as you see from the picture, is that he's an old man. And that is probably true. It doesn't exactly say that here. It does say that he was righteous. What does righteous mean? Well, a good word in today's English would be integrity. He was a man of integrity. He said what he meant. He meant what he said. Where is integrity taught? Oh, right in the Bible. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, it says. No double talk, no lies, honesty in all of your dealings, and all of that under the hand of God, and that brings the righteousness element into it. It also says that he was devout. What does devout mean? It's tied to the word devoted. It means in relation to God. A devout person has a high priority on consistent relationship with God. A devout person orders his life, arranges the details of his life so that he honors God. He would do things He would go places. He would say things that would be in step with godliness and avoid the opposite. And I think we all need to pause and just say, would someone consider me devout? If they observed your life over a period of weeks, would the conclusion be that you are a devout person who orders his life under the hand of God? It says another important thing about Simeon. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, what on earth does that mean? Well, at the time of this event, the birth of Jesus Christ, Israel, as a nation, was ruled by the foreigners of the Roman Empire. They were under someone else's control, and their own king, King Herod, and their chief priests, the temple leaders, were cooperating with Rome for the sake of job security. And that distressed all the people, the average people of Israel. It was far from what God had promised for Israel's destiny. They knew that God had a special destiny, a special future for them, and this obviously wasn't it. Their consolation, their mourning, their grief being resolved would be the deliverance from this wretched state. Some Jewish people read the Old Testament and dreamed of an earthly empire like King David had given them. They looked for a Messiah who would console them by bringing out the weapons, blowing the trumpets, waving the banners, and causing a revolution that could physically throw these foreigners out of their country. Someone who could lead them to greatness through violent overthrow. But there were others. People like Simeon, who read the Old Testament and got it. And they understood the spiritual truth that was there. They understood that the Messiah would bring about a spiritual kingdom that would come as consolation and that would be the fulfillment of God's promises. It would mean a Messiah who would lead by being a suffering servant, so opposite to what many people dreamed of. It would mean a revival of godly living in their country. It would mean the blossoming of salvation for all the nations of the world. Now, how many people of Jewish faith actually got that? That this would be a Messiah for the Gentiles as well as for the Jewish people. Simeon got that, and he included it right in the text that we read today. Their inner person, these people who got it. Their inner person longed for something real in their spiritual existence. And they knew that what they had wasn't all that God had promised. The consolation of Israel would be God sending the Messiah to meet the cry of the heart, to open the way to the living water that really truly satisfies our inner thirst. Simeon was spiritually thirsty, and he wanted that thirst quenched. He was looking for God's answers. He was searching for God's fresh touch. Friends, have you identified your own spiritual thirst today? Christmas is a peak of having an itch that you can't scratch in your spirit. We have some inner echoes. We have some hints of inner fulfillment. But apart from a true relationship with God, apart from wanting that in-depth personal relationship, the cleansing of sin from our lives, the renewal of the inner person in the image of Jesus Christ, we're going to miss it apart from that. We tend to just call it a desire for happiness instead of a spiritual thirst. So we set out on a quest for the Christmas season to bring us happiness in all of the solutions that are suggested in all the media, in the discussions we have with our neighbors. We search in parties and songs and family get-togethers and busyness and loads of presents. And when it's over, do we have spiritual satisfaction? Or do we hit spiritual emptiness and depression? That's not all that unusual. What we trip over is that happiness isn't the true object of our search. And so we're less than fulfilled when we get to what we think is our objective. Happiness is the byproduct of a fresh touch from God. And that touch from God fills the parties and presents and activities with purpose and meaning. And brings about a drink of that living water that satisfies that we'll never be thirsty again. And so the question is legitimate. Do you actually want it? That fresh touch from God. The consolation of your spiritual quest that God has created into the heart of every person. The deep satisfaction of your spiritual thirst. When we have identified and verified that we want to seek a fresh touch from God, Secondly, we need to pray for it. Notice all the indications in this passage of Luke chapter 2 of Simeon's prayer life. The fact that he was devout. Devout people pray. The Holy Spirit was upon him, it says. And the Holy Spirit in our lives, and filling our lives, is the result of prayer. It says the Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon that he would not die before he had seen the Messiah. That's talking about two-way spiritual communication with God. And that's prayer moved to another level, isn't it? And then verse 27 in Luke chapter 2 says, moved by the Spirit, Simeon went to the temple at just the right time. Certainly Simeon not only prayed, not only listened to God, but he had learned to act on the prompting of God the Holy Spirit. Have you ever done that? Have you felt an impulse inside that you've wondered about? And so often we're afraid to act on it. Just a passing thought. When maybe it's being directed by the Holy Spirit. It's the voice of God. And that's just something that as Christians we need to practice. We need to test it out and respond as a result of prayer. Sure, go back to prayer, but instead of denying that it could be God speaking to us and directing us in taking action, move with it and learn the differences by trial and error so that we can become sensitized to the prompting of God in our lives. In my observations of Christians, this indicates a mature, developed prayer life. I think we can safely say that this fresh touch on Simeon's life came as a result of prayer. And we just need to make spiritual refreshment in our lives a topic of prayer as we talk to our Heavenly Father. It doesn't matter if you were only in the beginning of praying or if you were a mature, practiced prayer. God delights to have us simply open our heart to Him and honestly speak to Him. Jesus told us that the prayer is simply like a child coming to a parent with a request. And so often as I interact with people, people think that in order to pray, you need to develop a pastor's voice or something like that. And you need to have theological words. And Jesus is saying, no, it's like a child crawling up on the lap of a parent. If you struggle with this, if you wonder about it needing to be certain words and that it's complicated and difficult, just go to a toy store someday and observe families with small children and see what the children do in that kind of environment. I don't detect a lot of shyness on the part of children in a toy store. I hear, oh, Daddy, can you get me this? Mommy, I want this. And it's just moving. No matter which aisle they go on, they want it all. And they talk about it. Now, are the parents wanting to get them something that they really hate? And say, oh, you want that? Okay, I'll go and get this over here. Oh, that's not parents. Do they say yes to everything? No, they can't. And it would be harmful for the children to say yes to everything. But do they hold off and try to see what the child would really appreciate and something that would be of value? Well, there's just some parallels in our coming to God, the Heavenly Father. We don't need to be shy. He invites us to come. Do we need to lay it before God and say, your will be done? Sure, we learn to do that. But the first step is understanding that God, our Heavenly Father, yearns to have us respond to Him. And He'll take inappropriate responses over no response at all. And He knows that we're just children in spiritual life and that we will grow as we spend time with our Heavenly Father. If we are dry in our spirits, if we have become thirsty for better quality in our inner person, if we know that we've become mired in ruts and rituals in our walk with God, it's time to give ourselves into the embrace of that Heavenly Father who loves us so much. And with childlike openness and honesty, ask Him for a renewal of our walk with Him, our relationship of closeness in our prayer life. So we need to want it. We need to pray for it. The third thing we see about Simeon seeking a fresh touch from the Lord, he waited for it. Doesn't say how long he had waited. But we honor Simeon, and the mood of the passage makes us think that it was a long time and that Simeon had persevered heroically in seeing the consolation of Israel. In his response now, all of a sudden he seems ready to die. So again, this impression of advanced age. And for Simeon, the gazing at this six-week-old baby is the satisfaction of a long-held desire. Whether that is true or not, he did wait. And it stands out in contrast to our society, our instant society. It stands in counterpoint to our attitude that if we press hard enough, if we pray hard enough, we can get whatever we want when we want it. Isn't that our conditioning in our environment? Yet when we come humbly, when we come childlike to our Lord and seek a fresh touch from Him, we must be prepared to wait, to leave it with Him, to know that He loves us totally and will reach out with His touch at just the right time in a better way than what we can ever cobble together in our minds. Friends, if you decide that it has to happen in this morning service or else, you're already defeated in that. Simeon knew that it would be in God's own time. And how did he start off his prayer? Sovereign Lord. Sovereign Lord. To know God as sovereign is to say, it's all up to you, God. It's all about you, your choices. And I place myself under that. Here's my prayers. Here's my desires. Here's my longing. But sovereign God, I know that you act in your way, in your time, and I gladly give myself to you for your timing. This is part of what it's meant when people say Jesus doesn't just want your things or your skill. He wants the gift of you back to Him so that He, the one who loves you completely, can pour into your life what only He knows will bring the deepest satisfaction to your spiritual thirst. Henry Nguyen writes about some friends of his who were trapeze artists. They were called the Flying Rudellas. As they talked with Nguyen and talked about their skill, they explained that there's a special relationship between flyer and catcher on the trapeze. You hope there's a special relationship. The flyer is the one who lets go. The catcher, obviously, is the one that catches. And as the flyer swings high above the crowd, the moment comes when he must let go entirely. He arcs out into the air, and his job is to remain as still as possible and wait for the strong hands of the catcher to pluck him from the air. He said to Nguyen, the flyer must never try to catch the catcher. I think I'd be trying hard to do that. The flyer must wait in absolute trust. The catcher will catch him, but he must wait. Can you trust God to catch you? What seems like only a split second on the trapeze may translate into days and months of waiting before God in earth time. But with God, 1,000 years is as a day, and a day as 1,000 years. And for most of us, the issue is letting go. We want to stay in control. I'll just keep one hand on the trapeze bar until you catch the other hand. Thank you very much. And God says, no, to live in faith, you must let go. You must walk in absolute trust on the Heavenly Father. What a striking picture of how we come to a fresh touch from God in our lives. Well, we get to enjoy the scene that results from Simeon wanting it, praying for it, and waiting for it. Picture him, gentle in spirit, finally taking that babe into his arms. I imagine soft tears of joy finding their way down the wrinkles of his face. Simeon talks to his Heavenly Father, expresses the release that this brings to his yearning. I've seen with my own eyes your salvation, a light for the Gentiles, a glory for Israel. Do you think Simeon felt a fresh touch in his life from God? We even use the expression in English, I can die happy now because of something, some great joy. Simeon went on to bless Mary and Joseph, shared a prophecy about the future of Jesus, said it wouldn't be all roses, even Mary's heart would be pierced, but it would mean salvation. And Simeon knew the priority, absolute priority of salvation. And Simeon, because of his encounter with Jesus, the baby Jesus, left the temple that day completely different. It was a revolution in his life. Instead of agonizing, waiting on God, his wait was over. He had his spiritual thirst satisfied. He had refreshment in his soul. He was on a new track, and he knew that soon he would be in the glory of the presence of his Heavenly Father. What about you today? In the middle of Christmas 2005, are you wanting a fresh touch? Are you wanting to go into this new year in a different level of relationship with Almighty God? Are you ready to pray for it? Are you ready to wait for it, that it comes as God chooses and not as you demand? Are you going to open yourself to watch for it in different ways than what you might even expect? To help you be ready to recognize it, friends. As Simeon was able to recognize baby Jesus as God's fresh touch, I'll just pass on to you this morning this virus warning. We're a very computer-literate congregation, and we live in the high-tech capital of Canada. I mean, that's a badge I wear now, being able to live in Markham and talk to others in other places. And so we're forced to deal with viruses. Well, this is a warning about a Christmas virus, and I think in a somewhat tongue-in-cheek way, it'll cap our sermon time well this morning. Virus alert. Be on the alert for symptoms of inner hope, peace, joy, and love. The hearts of a great many have already been exposed to this virus, and it is possible that people everywhere could come down with it in epidemic proportions. This could pose a serious threat to what has up to now been a fairly stable condition of conflict in the world. Some signs and symptoms of the Christmas virus. A tendency to think and act spontaneously rather than on fears based on past experiences. An unmistakable ability to enjoy the moment. A loss of interest in judging other people. A loss of interest in interpreting the actions of others. A loss of interest in conflict. A loss of the ability to worry. Wouldn't that be a great virus? Frequent overwhelming episodes of appreciation and thankfulness. Contented feelings of connectedness with others and with God. Frequent attacks of smiling. An increased tendency to let things happen rather than make them happen. An increased susceptibility to the love extended by others, as well as the uncontrollable urge to extend it. Please send this warning to all your friends. This virus can and has affected many systems. Some systems have been completely cleaned out because of it. Amen. May God bless you and bring that kind of virus into your life. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we are blessed this morning to pause and consider Simeon, a man who prayed, who longed for a fresh touch from God. And it was in the encounter for him with the baby Jesus that that became a reality in his life. And Father, as we set this time aside to honor the incarnation, the coming to earth of the Son of God in the form of a tiny baby, we pray, Lord, that our hearts will be blessed, that our hearts will be embraced and feeling secure, that we can open ourselves to our Heavenly Father in a fuller way than ever before. As we go on in our joy and celebrations of this Christmas day, may we have that unmistakable fresh touch from God that will cause us to embrace others today with an openness that goes beyond anything that has happened in our lives before. We thank you, Lord. Our hearts are full of praise and your inner peace and joy that we have been able to receive into our hearts, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand.
the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
Merry Christmas, everyone. May it be a great day and a great week.
And the Lord give us safety and joy in who he is and in our relationships. You may be seated.